Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre in the UK. This podcast is a recording of the Bible message that is shared during the Sunday worship service.
You can now watch our service online through live stream at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and can also find our stories and videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen, we pray that God will speak to you.
May you know God's abundant blessing today. I was wondering if you've ever been caught in that trap of making a decision or drawing conclusions before hearing both sides of the story. And how often there are two sides of the story of the same event that are so very, very different. I often find that when I'm trying to settle a dispute between my girls as well. Well, I want to read to you two possibly different versions of the encounter that Peter had with Jesus on the water. Here's the first one, the disciples' version. It was the next night. They had gathered as usual. Peter, of course, was running late. A crowd of friends had joined the group for dinner. Then Matthew brought up the story. "Last night, Peter made a fool of himself again," a voice rang out. "What did Peter do this time?" Well, the crowd started laughing, and Philip spoke up. "Well, we were all out in the boat when a fierce storm arose. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we saw what appeared to be a ghost. Then a voice spoke, and we realized it was Jesus. He was actually walking on water. It was amazing." James interrupted and said, "Then Peter opened his big mouth and asked if he could join the master. He's always trying to be the Lord's favorite." John added, "Yeah, but remember what happened next. Peter got out of the boat and almost immediately started to sink. Of course, Jesus rescued him by reaching out, grabbing his arm and pulling him up. But then he told Peter off for his lack of faith." The other disciples and the group of friends roared with laughter. "Peter messed up again," one said. Another replied, "He's always finding a way to fail Jesus." Then Andrew concluded, "My brother was lucky that Jesus was able to rescue him in the middle of that terrible storm last night. Hopefully he learned his lesson, and maybe next time he'll stay in the boat like the rest of us." One version. And now here's Peter's point of view. "I was on my way to dinner with the other disciples when I ran into an old fishing buddy. I was so excited about what had happened that I just had to tell somebody. I started telling him this story. 'You'll never believe what happened last night to me. I was in the boat with the rest of the guys, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning when the winds and the waves started to rock the boat back and forth. We were caught in the middle of a terrible storm. Then out of nowhere, we saw what appeared to be a ghost. The figure was walking on water. Then we heard his voice. It was the voice of Jesus, and he told us not to be afraid. So I said, 'Master, if it's you, then tell me to come to you on the water.' And he told me to get out of the boat and come. So that's exactly what I did. And before I knew what was happening, I was actually walking on water. It was amazing. And then all of a sudden, I realized I was in the middle of this huge storm. And I started watching the waves instead of Jesus. And then it happened. I started sinking under the water. Immediately, I cried out to the Lord and begged him to rescue me. He reached out his hand and pulled me back up. And he asked me why I ever doubted him and encouraged me to have more faith next time. The other disciples just watched in the boat. I can't believe they didn't join me. Sure, I started to sink because of doubt, but at least I can say I walked on water. Maybe they'll learn from my experience and get out of the boat next time." Two very different accounts of the same events, yes? And I wonder which version you relate to the most, the disciples or Peter. Of course, we all have a choice of whose side and whose of the story we want to take. And we also have the choice, if faced with the same situation, would we get out of the boat? Would we stay in the boat and criticize those who stepped out? Or would we get out of the boat and say that we've walked on water? Of course, I can understand the desire not to get out of the boat. I wouldn't say I was a naturally brave or daring person when it comes to these sort of things. So it probably would be an easy choice for me to stay quite firmly in the boat. And when we're faced with something that seems incredibly scary and out of our comfort zone, who wouldn't be naturally apprehensive and have to weigh up the pros and cons? In reality, the dangers of getting out of the boat far outweigh the possibilities of being able to walk on the water, don't they? I mean, walking on the water on a nice calm lake is impossible at the best of times. But when it's stormy, well, that's just asking for trouble. And I could just hear those excuses for staying in the boat. I'm fine where I am. It's working well for me. Why do something different? And we can use this in our own sort of involvement and experience and commitment and service. You know that thought that when we think we've got our service and commitment and our part in the mission sorted and we know our course, there can't possibly be anything that's better or greater or more important than what we've already been doing, can there? Another excuse could be, oh my word, there's no way I could ever do that. We kind of have this distorted view of ourselves. Wayne Cordero, in his book Dream Releases, wrote, "The richest place on earth is not the diamond mines of South Africa or the gold caches of Ecuador. It's not the oil fields of Saudi Arabia or the uranium excavations of the Balkans. Neither is it the mineral deposits of the Dead Sea. No, the richest plot on this land, in this planet, is your very own neighborhood. You might have even passed it this morning. It's the cemetery." That's right. The graveyard is the wealthiest place in all of creation. Beneath those rectangular pieces of earth lie countless unsung melodies and unwritten poems. The grassy plots overflow with brilliant ideas that could have transformed entire communities, rehabilitated the lost, and born hope to the weary. Our burial grounds reek with unattained successes and realized dreams. It's a bit sad, isn't it? People who have had dreams but never had the courage, never had the right view of themselves to make it a reality. Perhaps we have this view of what the Lord is urging us to do, but in our eyes, it just looks too difficult, too impossible. We have this view that perhaps it will make us look foolish or hurt us or mean that we're not in control. It may open us up to criticism. So we can't possibly do that, can we? And then another excuse could be, what if I fail? Of course, what if I fail? That overwhelming fear that makes us freeze. You know, Thomas Edison's motto must be never give up. He was credited with 1,093 inventions. He produced the most patents of any one single individual, at least one a year for 65 consecutive years. And he was named Life magazine's number one man of the millennium. However, when creating the incandescent light bulb, it took him over 10,000 tries to find the right material to get it to work. And I'm glad that he did not give up on the 9,999th attempt. But he has been credited with this most famous quote: "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close to success they were when they gave up." I'm scared. I can't possibly do that, can I? So who was the failure in this story? Peter, who sunk, or the disciples who refused to get out of the boat? Well, I don't think it's fair to say that the disciples were failures just because they didn't rise up and leap over the side of the boat. They're no less chosen of God, but perhaps they're less exalted. And Peter, he wasn't a failure either. He might have sunk a little bit, but not completely. He managed to walk on water, after all, just like Jesus, with the help of Jesus. He didn't make any excuses. Peter doesn't have this distorted view of himself or fear of failure. He wants to be with Jesus doing great things. And I reckon his reasons for getting out of the boat were reasons that we could do well to take on board in our lives, and particularly in our faith journey, if we want to do these great things for God. So what do I think these reasons were? Well, when you get out of the boat, firstly, your faith is exercised. It took faith for Peter to make the first step out of the boat. He saw this as an opportunity rather than an obstacle. Initially, he saw Jesus rather than the storm. He put his faith in Jesus into action. He exercised his faith. And then secondly, when you get out of the boat, your faith is examined. Jesus said, "You have little faith." He didn't say, "You have no faith." Peter's faith wavered, but it didn't cease. Don't be surprised if you sink occasionally. Human nature is to sink. Human nature is to take your eyes off Jesus and suddenly realize what you're doing. But the great thing is that God can pick you up. And thirdly, when you get out of the boat, and this is my favorite, your faith is enhanced. Peter didn't lose faith in himself, but instead he lost faith in Jesus. But then he realized the true source of his faith. Through his momentary failure, Peter's faith was challenged and enhanced. It was better. It was stronger. We had a great holiday in North Wales. We went up Snowdon in the train. We went to the South Stack Island, which was right at the most westerly point of Anglesey. We went to the very quirky village of Port Miriam. We hunted out some beautiful waterfalls. We ate special ice cream every single day. And we went to Zip World. Now, Zip World is all full of all these different adventures that you can do. Now, we weren't as daring as the Minots, who did the Velocity, which is the world's fastest and Europe's longest zip line, but we did do the Forest Coaster, the UK's only alpine coaster. Have a watch of this, hopefully. Go. That's the Forest Coaster. I kind of wanted to go on it because my friend had gone on it and she said it would be all right, but I didn't want to go on it at the same time, if you know what I mean. I was in a bit of a do I stay in the boat or do I get out of the boat sort of quandary. And whilst Adrian and the girls got more excited and more animated the closer they got to doing it, I got quieter and quieter and more anxious about it. But I remembered thinking to myself, I wanted to show the girls that even though I was scared, it was good to face my fears. And when it was all over, well, do you know what? I could have gone right back up to the top again and done it again. I loved it. It was so good. It was really exhilarating. My fears were faced, and I just found it amazing, so brilliant, so exhilarating. Now, I'm sure that you have all faced your own forest coasters, where you've been anxious about doing something, but facing an experience that has been the most exhilarating or enhancing time of your life. And sometimes that's only in hindsight, when we look back after. It's not nice to go through sometimes, but afterwards we see how exhilarating that's been and how enhanced it has made our lives. I knew I had to do it. I knew it would be something really good for me to do. And this too was Peter's experience of getting out of that boat. So how do we get out of the boat? How do we walk on water? How do we get on our forest coaster, so to speak? Well, can I suggest some steps to walking on water from Peter's experience with you this morning? Firstly, we want to recognize his voice. Jesus said to Peter, "It is I." Peter heard the voice of Jesus and he knew it was Jesus, and therefore he knew it was right to get out of the boat. We need to learn to recognize his voice through practice, through regular conversations with him. Find out the ways that he speaks to you. Look back to the ways in which you've recognized him speaking to you in the past. Speak to others about their experience of what their experience is of God speaking to them. And then you suggest that we remember our previous victories. Jesus had turned water into wine. He'd healed the sick. He'd cast out demons. He'd raised the dead, fed 5,000 people, and even calmed the storm in the past. Peter knew Jesus' worth from past experiences. Look to the ways in which the Lord has been victorious in your life or in someone else you know, and take courage from that. And then we need to release the present fears. Jesus was walking on the very thing that they feared, water. He was displaying his power over their fears. What are the fears that are preventing you from getting out of the boat and attempting great things? Let the Lord release them from you this morning. And then we've got to realize our potential. Peter understood that Jesus was not limited in his power. He was already able to do the impossible. Peter had witnessed this. If Jesus could do it, why couldn't Peter do it? And with that, we've got to request the supernatural help. Peter asked Jesus to allow him to walk on the water. He knew that the task was impossible on his own, but he would require the supernatural power of God. And in doing so, he had to remain constantly focused. The same faith that allowed Peter to walk on water is the faith he has started to lose when he looked at the wind and the waves. If the task is impossible without God, then the only solution is to trust in God. He will carry you through. Remember those past victories. And finally, yeah, we've got to receive the needed correction. It's not the most pleasant bit. Peter was told off. He was rebuked for his lack of faith. But Peter was saved by God's amazing grace. And sometimes along the journey, we'll need God to save us and correct us. But it's through those times that we're able to enhance our faith and attempt even greater things. Look, the reality is that we're not all risk takers. We can't all be like Peter. But we can all learn from Peter's example and move forward in the direction of boldness and risk taking. You know, in one sense, this whole incident was much ado about nothing. Who cares about walking on water? It's one of the most useless miracles in the Bible, really. Jesus never did it again, and nobody else was challenged to do it again. It healed nobody. It helped nobody. In terms of benefit, you can place this miracle on the bottom of the pile. You could feel the loss if it never would happen again. Obviously, a miracle of so little worth must have great value in terms of education. And this whole scene was deliberately set up by Jesus to teach a lesson. He sent the disciples out into the lake in a boat alone. This time, he was not going to be sleeping in the boat when the storm hit. This was a whole new lesson for them to see how they would cope without him and how their faith would respond with him absent. He was not going to be there by their side in the flesh forever. And they needed to develop a faith that went beyond sight. They had just seen him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You'd think that their faith would never fail again after that. But Jesus knew the reality, and he sent them out to face contrary winds and put their faith to test. And you know, for you and I, although we start out with good intentions, sometimes our faith falters. That's the reality of life. This doesn't necessarily mean that we failed. When Peter's faith faltered, he reached out to Christ because he was the only one. He realized he was the only one who could help him. He was afraid, but he still looked to Christ. So when you're apprehensive about the troubles around you or something you've got to face and doubt Christ's presence or ability to help, you need to remember that he is the only one that can help. Remember the past victories. Remember this story, if nothing else. This isn't a test in how daring you can be in the most crazy, death-defying act for Jesus. It's a test in faith. Do you believe in the power of Jesus? Do you trust him that his way is best and most fulfilling, and therefore are prepared to do the things that just might not be normally in your comfort zone? Every day, there are opportunities for us to get out of the boat, for us to exercise, examine, and enhance our faith. Let's not miss the opportunity to do this, and in so doing, attempt great things for God. For when you attempt great things for God, you can expect great things from God. Are you open for the challenge this morning? Are you? Come on, let's get out of the boat. I'm going to have a moment just to think about this. What God is saying to us personally through the start, this story today. You might be facing a difficult situation or a daunting situation where you're feeling fearful. It might be your forest coaster. Or perhaps God is directing you to step out in faith towards something he wants you to do, and it's out of your comfort zone. And we just have this moment now just to think and pray. Let me pray with you. Gracious Father, we do not always understand your ways. We are easily discouraged when life takes unexpected turns and our carefully laid plans and dreams come to nothing. We can be quick to give up when things get difficult and quick to question your presence and your power. Forgive us, Lord. You call us to let go of the things we cling to and step out in faith, trusting in your love and provision. And so give us courage to step out boldly and sufficient faith to follow without fear. Take our lives and our gifts, use them to accomplish more than we could possibly imagine, so that through us, your kingdom might come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.